This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
I don't know how to do anything halfway. You know, you have to give me a box. If not, I will break right through it and build a skyscraper. I love to build. And I say that because when I fall in love with something, when I get into something, which was real estate, I just go hard.
Welcome to the Color and Money Podcast. My name is Bo Minkiti, and I am joined today by my amazing co-host, Imric Peace, Daniel Dixon, and the amazing Julia Lachey. We have great guests for you today. Jamila Winzi is an amazing person that I've had the privilege of getting to know over the last decade in real estate. She is a total powerhouse in the real estate industry with over two decades of experience that came from a dynamic foundation in information technology and management consulting. She was the CEO and co-founder of Legacy Living Real Estate that she built into one of the largest real estate companies in North America, where she did over $2 billion in sales were done under her leadership there. And she's recently transitioned into a new role as the vice president of U.S. brokerage operations at The Real Brokerage, where she provides strategy and strategic support to over 13,000 real estate agents across the country. She is a wealth of knowledge. She's served on a number of boards. I won't even go into all of them. I think we'll touch on them as we go through her story. But she's been an amazing leader in this industry and in this space. And we're really excited to have her with us today. So thank you for joining us, Jamila.
Thanks for having me, Bo. And I need you to write that introduction down. I need that.
Well, it's awesome. It's great to have you. And maybe just to kick us off, like, I always find like the origin story to be really interesting. So can you tell us about how you got into real estate and how became a family and personal pursuit?
I'll try to shorten it because I know we don't have a lot of time, but most of you know that I'm originally from Nigeria. So my origin story actually really just starts there. I came here to this country just, you know, lots of political unrest back home. And my father at the time basically scrapped up everything that he could to send my sister and I here. So when we got here, we separated. Well, it always happens when siblings come here because we both couldn't be in one household. Long story short, found myself homeless and eventually was able to get myself together and got married, had a kid, bought my first home. And I hated my realtor so bad. I hate to say that. She was terrible. And I just like, I think it's like, this is common for everyone, right? Oh, my, I could do a better job, right? Until we actually get the role and we're like, yeah, that was really hard. Why did I decide to do that? But really and truly, I got into real estate, not intentionally. My goal was to buy real estate, was to be an investor. So at that time I was working in corporate America, you know, mailroom kind of stuff, was working my way up the corporate ladder. At the time, I was up all night and never sleep. And I was watching Carlton Sheets. I'm dating myself when I say that now. If y'all remember The Father of No Money Down. Mm-hmm. And I bought the course and fell in love with real estate. By the time I was 26, I think I had about 24 properties, including a few multifamily that I bought with no money down. Got so good at this. My friends were like, Jamila, you got to show me how you're doing these deals. And I'm like, sure, just throw me a little something on the side. And so I started putting deals together for my friends and family. And my attorney friend said, hey, Jamila, you're practicing real estate without a license. Did you know that? And yeah. I was like, what? No, I'm just helping my folks out. So he's like, no, go get a license. And that's really how I got my license. I shouldn't have done it. It took me away from investing because now your hands are tied. But then I fell in love with the business. My first year in the business was amazing because I was taking care of friends and family and investors. So it was like 350 grand my first year. You couldn't tell me anything. I was just like completely unintentional about my business, but I was making a lot of money with very little skills, really. I don't think I knew what I was doing. And so the next year I made $35,000 and that was my eye opener. And I realized I had to learn the business. And in that vein, I fell in love with it. And I decided that that's what I wanted to do. I left corporate America for the first time, because I went back a second time. When we left Corporate America for the first time, and for years, I started learning the trade, learning the game, the way that it needed to be learned, you know, how to ride a bicycle, the prospecting calls, everything that you needed to do. And my business had never been the same since then. So I had the bright idea to start a brokerage. So, you know, top producer, and then you want to start a brokerage. Now I'm fast forward. I'm skipping through a lot of things. And this was after I got married to my husband, Patrick. And so really, we sat after we got married and he said, hey, what do you want to do? And at this point, I had gone back to corporate because someone lured me into a consulting gig that was like a dream consulting gig. And I knew that I just had to do it because it took me all over the world. But I knew I wasn't going to be in it for a long time. So long story short, it was time for me to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And we sat in our living room and he asked, what do you want to do? I said, you know what? I think it's time for us to scale this thing. My husband had joined me at that time and we had a few agents under our belt and we're doing pretty well. Nothing too significant or crazy, a $20 million a year team, that sort of thing. But we were comfortable. So we started by purchasing. Being an enterprise mindset, I thought the best thing to do was to buy a franchise versus just scale what we already had. And so we did. We purchased our first franchise, which was a Remax, and took that from 8 agents to about almost 100 in less than a couple of years, about 4 locations. And when our franchise agreement was over, we joined the Anywhere family and under ERA, under ERA flag, which is still Legacy Living. And we took that to $2 billion, did the, you know, Inc. 5,000, all the accolades that you can think of that you can win. Yeah, they're all on the shelf. So that's the journey. I enjoyed the part. I realized what I enjoyed most about the business was really less about the money, but the people aspect and watching people win. And that was super addictive for me. So
you talked about these inflection points of sort of learning where you jumped into real estate and then you learned the business and then you started a brokerage, but then you decided to become intentional about it. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you think that role of intentionality and sort of foundation building and structure building plays into building a career in real estate?
You know what? It absolutely does. I'll take you back to some point, some pivotal moments for me. First as an agent, right? I remember doing so well. Yeah, I guess you could put me in the category of high achiever, I guess. I don't know how to do anything halfway. You know, you have to give me a box. If not, I will break right through it or build a skyscraper. I love to build. And I say that because when I fall in love with something, when I get into something, which was real estate, I just go hard. But going hard for me was just nonstop. So when I finally figured out what I was doing, that's the thing when it clicks, because it's like systems and you understand the systems, you know how the numbers and you know the numbers don't lie. For you, you just, okay, I know what I need to do every morning. What I wasn't doing was I didn't really have a why, right? I didn't know why I was doing it. I just gotten through a really bad divorce. I felt like I was trying to prove something to my ex at the time, maybe. I don't know. But there was definitely a chip on my shoulder. I felt like winning was everything. And that is very dangerous for somebody like me because it cannot be your reason, right? And I had no passion links outside of my son. That was it. You know, just get up, do everything I need to do and make sure he's good, right? And so I had to let Nyan buy a day spa, and I had these vending businesses and I had a little hotel that I bought and and I burned out, totally burnt out. I remember I started dating Patrick and I didn't want to do it anymore. I could, but I didn't want to do it anymore. I was just tired because that reason for getting out of bed was becoming more and more diminishing. When I left corporate America the first time, the reason why I did that was because my need for building a legacy outweighed my need for security. And that was my reason for jumping. So I was at a point in my real estate career where I didn't know why. It was easy for me, right? In my head, it's never easy. This is not an easy business. But I was just burnt out. I didn't want any of it. I started just selling things off. And it was when I realized that I was not motivated by money. And I could live in a one-bedroom condo just as much as I could live in a 5,000-square-foot house. It didn't make a difference to me. right? And so, you know, Pat was in my ear like Mickey to Rocky, trying to get me to get back up and get back in the fight. But I had lost that fight. And I had to start asking myself different questions. Who am I and what am I doing? Those are the two questions that just kind of stuck with me. And I had to start asking myself questions outside of money. Like, you know, when you take all of this away, when you take the real estate, if you were just to be in the middle of a desert and you had an opportunity to do one thing, no matter what industry, no matter what it is, what would it be? Thankfully, I love the real estate industry, but it was really more about creating an environment for people where they could win, uplifting people, helping people. And so then I found the reason why I love the real estate business so much was because that's exactly what we do, right? We help people build wealth. We help people in achieving their dreams as brokers and coaches. We help agents achieve the career that they aspire to have. And so that gave me new motivation. So fast forward to opening the brokerage. Went hard on that too. I did hit a point too in that. And before we even started growing the way that we started growing. I mean, I was in the bathroom one day just crying, bawling my eyes out. I think one or two of our agents that had just left and they were our biggest producers, and then one died. And I was like, yeah, we're out of business. And I was like, this is crazy. I spent all my money on this thing, built out this beautiful office. You know, why did I do this? This is stupid. You know, I had the biggest FOMO ever. Imposter syndrome. Like, what makes me think I'm going to lose these people? Who do you think you are? So again, those are two very pivotal moments for me that where I started to shift my mindset to, this is what you want to achieve. This is what you're equipped to do. This is your talent. This is your superpower. You're in this position for a reason. And so regardless of how you got here, you cannot feel guilty about it. You take what God has given you and you run with it. And it created a fearlessness in me. As you can see, I had it right behind me all the time. And I just started saying, keep moving your feet. And that's pretty much what I started doing. And that's the intentional part, Bo, is my intention every day is just to keep moving my feet. That's the only thing I get to do when I get up in the morning. It's like my prayer, move your feet. And that's it.
Jamila, outside of just moving your feet, for a high achiever, you obviously just don't wake up in the morning and say, move my feet. There's some goals that you've set for yourself, some ways that you go about doing them. How do you set like what the week is going to look like, what the day is going to look like so that you are moving your feet? Because move your feet where? Like, how do you plan where you're going to move your feet to?
No, you're right. You have to have targets, right? When we set out to build our brokerage, it wasn't to build the biggest brokerage in the world. I just wanted to feed my family and have an opportunity to build a legacy for my family. I come from a really big family. And overall, my goal is to make sure my nieces, my nephews, and everyone that's around me, my kids, my grandkids, have an opportunity that I didn't have coming here as an immigrant. And so those targets are important when, you know, just I think most of us in this room, we have our goals. We set them. So these are the things that we want to do. And I work towards those goals. You know, so these are my big rocks. These are the main things I need to do. Like, for example, this year, I'm very focused on doing an amazing job with this new role and building a development company. Those are my big rocks, right? Outside of some ancillary goals that are tied to those things, right? From a branding, marketing, everything that comes along with that, a book, all that. So what are the things I need to do today that takes me towards, that puts me towards those goals? I don't focus on anything else. Because if I'm focusing on something else, it's taking me away from the dreams and the goals that I set for myself. And when I'm focusing on something else, I'm asking myself, why? Is this the bus that I need to be on right now? I need to evaluate, why do I keep focusing on this? And if it's not something that's driving me somewhere that I feel like God is leading me to, then everything that I do on a daily basis is focused on those goals that I set. And sometimes they're 3, 4, 5 year goals. But every day I'm looking at those goals, and every task list, every to-do is tied to it outside of living, right? Those big goals could be vacations. They could be anything, right? And so when I say I'm moving my feet, I'm moving my feet towards my target.
You're touching so many agents in the roles that you've had and what you've seen. over the last decade or so. Where do you see this going now? You know, growth in markets. Are we seeing growth? Do you see growth? Do you see agent growth? What is your feedback or trends that you see?
No, that's a great question. Definitely still seeing agent growth. This is a very sexy market, but I think the agents that are coming into this market are expecting very different things. We're having more entrepreneurs come into the market. Real estate, the way we knew it, as you guys know, is not what it used to be 10 years ago. When I have conversations with agents, they want to be entrepreneurs. They want to have ancillary income. They want to do more than just sell real estate. And they want people who have been where they want to be, and they want to be coached by people like that, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the agent of today is so different, even more advanced than what we used to see in our business. When I'm talking to a brand new agent today, they already have all the
technology. What do you mean by that? Skill-wise?
Skill-wise. Yeah, they're just advanced.
What type of skills do you think are the ones that people are showing up today?
I think the skills that have fallen off is a skill. It's really not a skill, more of a habit, which is consistency and prospecting. But there are too many shiny tools out there. And unfortunately, there's a lot of squirreling happening.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that are consistent, right? The ones that are not afraid to do the videos or get on social media or have the events or go knock on doors. Because guess what? Door knocking still works. But you might need to do it in a different way. Stylist should be a little bit more intentional and strategic about it. But it still works, you know? So those agents, I think, that take grassroots and today's technology and fuse them together are the ones that I'm seeing are having the most success. Advanced skills, it's all about technology. And this is not just in the real estate industry. This is in all industries. Obviously, AI is a huge thing in every industry today. You know, we talk about it, oh, it's ChatGPT, but ChatGPT is probably the most basic learning language software out there when you can see everything that AI is doing for every business out there. And so agents
like,
that are really—
Like what, Jamila? Because I heard you're an AI expert. So like
what? I don't know about AI expert. I know more than a few, I guess. Language learning software is more than just ChatGPT. Obviously, ChatGPT is the most used, right?
But what should we be using it for other than that?
You can use ChatGPT for pretty much a whole lot of things. I'll give you an example. As an agent, if I'm sitting here as a brand new agent and I do not know what to do, I don't have my daily activities, I don't have a business plan, I can generate all of that in ChatGPT by giving it the right prompt, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I supposed to do on a daily basis? Here are the numbers that I want to do. How many conversations do I need to have on a daily basis? It used to be that we used to have a 2-hour class for that. You can generate that in 5 minutes. And it's that easy today to figure out what your daily activities should be. It's easy to figure out how many transactions you need to do, how many listings, how many conversations, how many calls. You can do that right now in 5 minutes. But at the same time, I can also use that same plan and say, okay, fine, I have my plan. I need to figure out what my marketing is going to look like. I always say pick two. If there are two things that you're going to do on a daily basis, maybe it's, you know, reaching out to your sphere of influence or doing a video. Let's just say it's video, right? I want to be the resident expert. ChatGPT can surf the internet now. You know, I want to know all the things that's going on in my city, and I need you to generate scripts that I can use for a video prompt, throw those on a caption screen and read that and then edit the video. I can do all of those things in 1 hour. So if anything else, if you use ChatGPT or any language learning software for anything, use it to save time. Mm-hmm. Use it to save time. I can generate a year's worth of email follow-ups in 2 minutes. So there's no excuse when it comes to marketing but these agents that are using these tools know that now.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
In this microwave society, that takes time to sit down and actually plan these things out and put them in place. It appears that not a lot of agents want to spend the time to put those things together. So what's experience are you having with, I call it, well, I'm not the only one to call it, the microwave generation. They want 40 sales next year and they just got their license this year. But however, they're not really willing to put in all the work that it takes to build the skill to get there.
You're right. And I'm going to tell anybody that walks up in front of me and says, I want to sell 40 houses this year and I want to put the time in, that they're in the wrong business. I don't care what's going on in this industry. One thing that technology is never going to do is replace real estate agents. Because if anything else, the tools that you're using should make you a subject matter expert and make you better at your job, but it doesn't do your job for you. You still have to spend time. You still have to have conversations. Mm-hmm. Still need to talk to people. You know, it's not going to do that for you. So if you can't dedicate the time today, even if it's 10 or 15, 20 minutes a day to do the very basic things, heck, if you can't talk to five people a day, you're in the wrong business. And that's just the way it is. There's only so much money that you can spend on ISAs and outsourcing this and outsourcing that. You still have to do the work. So that's my take on it. You know, I'm a kind of an old school musical type coach. And that's what you want. Then I'm the wrong coach for you. I'm going to tell you right now, go on. Even the millionaire football player still got to come show up for practice every day.
So Jamila, as you think about sort of the agent of today and the agent of tomorrow, like what would be your advice to people that are entering the industry now as being the most important things that they should be focused on in building a career in real estate?
Just from experience and working with, I'd say that today's agents or this generation of agents, the experience has been like, you know, like Emmerich said, lots of microwaving. You expect things to be done now. And so the coming into this industry, I'm finding wrong. Now, I don't want to use the wrong intention because I can't tell you that your intention is wrong, but a misconception of what to expect. And so it's really important for agents coming into this industry to understand that this industry, this business, is the only business with no ceiling. It's the only business with no ceiling. You can be as productive or as unproductive as you want to be. It's like college. Like you go to college the first time, your first year, you lose your mind because nobody's telling you to go to class and all that stuff. You party all night and you're like, wow, why do I have an F? Right? It's the same thing. And so you can sell a skyscraper with a real estate license. Just as much as you can sell a $250,000 house. So it's really important to understand that focus and consistency. And I think this is like the not so secret sauce in this business. You have to be focused and you have to be consistent because the money is in the mundane, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to say, I want to sell 20 houses my first year, and you have a plan and you have a roadmap and it tells you exactly what you need to do every day, do that and nothing else. Focus on the basics. You can't come into this industry not knowing how to write a contract and all of a sudden you want to go sell $1 million, $2 million house. Mm-hmm. I don't know what world that happens in. In every industry, you have to build your muscles. So your first year, focus on building those muscles. Focus on building those basic skills. Because at the end of the day, if you're a $10 million producer, $20 million producer, $30 million producer, it still requires the same set of basic skills. Your muscles just got harder. You just got better. Your reps got better. You know, all that stuff.
I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. How do you get them to do it? We can map out the business plan. We can create the thing. And this is what we got to be consistent with every day. The biggest disconnect I'm seeing right now is like, they don't even want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how do we get them to light that fire in their belly to go do the stuff that we all know that made us all successful when we first started?
They don't want to put it in the microwave.
Yeah, no, but to be honest with you guys, though, how do you teach motivation?
You can't teach hustle. You cannot teach hustle.
I can lead you all the way to the water if you don't drink it. I mean, all you got to do is drink. And if you don't want to do that, and like I mentioned it earlier, it's the wrong business for you. Get out.
Can we switch gears only because I want to make sure we talk about this transition into your new executive. It's an executive leadership role, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to not talk about that, you know, in our short time we have with you here. Can we talk about that? What's your new role and how'd you get it and why'd you take it? Given that you're already obviously successful, what made you take on this new role and what is it?
It's funny. I hit another pivotal part in my life last year. And it was that my husband and I decided that it was time for us to do something different, not work together, right? And we thought that one of us was going to get out of the business. And we mostly thought it was going to be him. But then I thought about it some more. I realized that my why is still what it is, like I mentioned before, is being able to make a bigger impact in people's lives, and especially in this industry. As big as we've gotten, we still were pretty much a local brand. And I really felt like it was time for me to reach a wider audience and contribute in a way where I could be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And So that was the motivation. Honestly, when we were thinking about it, I just put it out in the ethos. I hadn't even started fleshing it out. But the opportunity came. And with the company that I worked for, it checked all the boxes. There was a time in my life where I wanted to take everything that I learned about tech and everything that I learned about real estate and put them together. And I always wanted to know what it would be like to build an enterprise business or help build one. And so that's what this role provides me, the opportunity to still coach, lead leaders, which is something that I'm very passionate about. Do it at a very wide scale, but also help with building something that is, I think, they've done an amazing job building something so beautiful that I wanted to be a part of that.
Wait, who are they and what's the position?
Oh, I'm sorry. The company is real. It's the fifth largest brokerage in the country. And my role as Vice President of U.S. Brokerage Operations, I manage their fastest growing markets, which spans about 18 states. Supports about 13 or so thousand agents. I also has about 27,000 agents across the country. And they've grown extremely fast. The culture that they had felt like the culture that we had. And so I felt that I wanted to be a part of that and do something different.
So now you go from kind of sort of being an employee. You hadn't been an employee for a while. You were the shot caller. So how does that all work out? I mean, how does that translate into personal satisfaction?
It's a mindset shift because, again, it's a role. I didn't have to give up the things that I do today that's passionate about. The only thing that I basically had to shift from was managing the brokerage that I currently owned, that I owned at the time, which at that time we had already discussed my husband was going to take over it. Everything else pretty much still the same. But it's less about being an employee because it's very, very, very entrepreneurial role.
Okay.
There's a mind shift that happens and it has to happen because it's not your daddy's house anymore. But at the same time, you know, it's not a role where it's like, oh, I'm clocking in every 2 seconds, right? It's a role that gives me autonomy. Right. You have to be an entrepreneur to even have a role like that because you're leading entrepreneurs. And so that's really what I love about the environment that I'm in, right? It is amazing working with the group of people that I work with today. Extremely smart, extremely entrepreneurial, extremely supportive. I mean, it's different when you're on your own doing certain things. But when you're in a group of people that are just smarter than you, it makes a world of difference. It definitely allows you to elevate your game a lot. So you never stop learning. Yeah. I'm always half full. So I'm learning a ton on a daily basis.
That's awesome.
It's interesting. You can bring that back to like, for our listeners and for everyone, this idea of how you approach situations. And I think that, you know, I love the way I was reading John Thompson's book, I Came as a Shadow, the other day, and he talks about the role he played in NCAA basketball and Prop 48 and all these different things. And he says, you know, it's great. I'd love to think of myself as a social justice crusader, but I'm not ignorant enough to know that came because I won basketball games. And the first step is to win. And the second step is to influence. But you don't have influence if you don't win. And I think that is, it's not a fair reality all the time, but it is the reality. And I think that how that applies, whether you're in an executive position at one of the largest real estate companies in the country or whether you are just starting your career, is you've got to show up and you've got to figure out how to win. And once you figure out how to win, you have the opportunity to put your stamp on what you're doing and to move forward in a way that automatically, you know, uplifts and empowers others.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
We're getting towards the end of our time, but I got a question for you. You use the word fearless all the time. You've used it. It's on the wall behind you. I've heard you use it in many of the times I've talked to you. What does fearless mean to you?
Fearless means that sometimes you're not always going to make the popular decisions. Sometimes the decisions that you make may to other people seem, okay, that's weird. Why did she do that? Or why did he do that? Fearless is staying true to the calling that you have, doing the hard things, knowing that it's hard and doing it anyway. My life has had a ton of ups and downs. You know, I think, you know, when you look at stories and challenges that people had to go through, many times that I've wanted to quit, but I'm always big about pivoting my entire life. And it takes a lot of fearlessness to do that. But it's also fearlessness in just being yourself. Because sometimes you got to take 25 steps back to leap forward. And even when you get to the place that you think you want to be, and it's not exactly where you want to be or you thought you were going to be, it might mean starting all over again. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I'm someone that's had to start over again at least twice in my life. And so I need to understand that despite the fear, despite what it takes to jump off that mountain, off that cliff, I need to know that it's the right thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do. Do it anyway. You're going to be fine. So I need that word in my head all the time because that's what pushes me and that's what put the wins behind me.
It's what allows you to get up every day and put those feet in front of one another.
Right.
On a journey that allows you to continue to discover and express who you are. But it's the courage to understand the fear and to be fearless anyways that allows us to move forward.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Jamila. Thank you so much for joining us. I got a lot out of this. I'm sure our listeners got a lot out of this as well. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another fantastic episode of the Color of Money podcast. Join us next week for our next guest. Take care, everyone. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Any text or materials generated by artificial intelligence, AI, should be reviewed for accuracy and reliability as there may be errors, omissions, or inaccuracies.